Can I ask you please to turn to Proverbs chapter 14? We are going to be jumping around Proverbs a lot this morning as we look at a theme and look to pull different verses and see what Proverbs as a whole has got to say for that and about that subject of walking daily in wisdom as we think about practical living from Proverbs. So I'll put verses up on screen so you're not having to kind of Bible hop too much. The verses that we put up today will circulate early on in the week so that you can refer to those again if you want to look over them once more. Let's base ourselves in Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to read from verse 2 down to verse 16. This is the Word of God. Those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise him. A fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him, but the words of the wise keep them safe. Without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. An honest witness does not lie. A false witness breathes lies. A mocker seeks wisdom and never finds it, but knowledge comes easily to those with understanding. Stay away from fools, for you won't find knowledge on their lips. The prudent understand where they are going, but fools deceive themselves. Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can fully share in its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the godly will flourish. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Laughter can conceal a heavy heart, but when the laughter ends, the grief remains. Backsliders get what they deserve. Good people receive their reward. Only simpletons believe everything they're told. The prudent carefully consider their steps. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Well, keep your thumb in that chapter as we come to think about some wisdom in practical living from Proverbs. Let me start by reading another part of the Word of God to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. It's a wonderful psalm, isn't it? And of course, Psalm 23 is often read out at funerals because it sums up so beautifully the certainty, security, and protection that we all want to know with God leading us through life as our good shepherd, and then at the end of our lives, then leading us into his eternal home. And when we hear those words at a funeral, of course, they should move us to a point of reflection. They should move us to stop and to ponder, to think through the question, do I really know the assurance that it speaks of? Do I really have the confidence about my life and my death that it points to? And if we don't, then it should make us take steps to put that right, to discover it for ourselves. I wonder how many people at a funeral have heard those words and been moved by them for a moment, but then immediately after dusted themselves down and then carried on as though nothing had happened. It would be an interesting statistic. My guess is it would be probably very high. But if Psalm 23 is the experience that we want to know, then the next book in the Bible, the book of Proverbs, shows us that there are very real and right choices that we have to make, that throughout our lives at daily points we will be faced with two roads. we'll be faced with God's way or the wrong way, and that the decision that we make at each and every of those crossroads will determine whether we walk closely with God or whether we wander away from him. In other words, very clearly, what Proverbs underlines again and again is that in faith, we have a personal responsibility. That yes, we may face all sorts of difficult situations and trials and temptations, but the outcomes of those situations will be determined by our decisions. And so Proverbs chooses us calls us to choose wisely, which means walking on God's narrow paths instead of the world's easier broad road. And as we've seen in our previous look into the book of Proverbs past months, very early in the book, the foundation is laid by Proverbs, the foundation that it encourages us to build our lives on. It says, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." In other words, human beings are to have a right fear of God. That is, a right respect and a right reverence for him. Not a cowering fear, so that we are to walk through life like a slave in chains to a master that we're afraid of. No, instead, the picture we're to have in our minds as we read the book of Proverbs is walking through life beside a loving Father whose hand we hold in absolute trust and whose guidance we follow. And of course, if we live with that right respect for God and also a right humility before him, then very naturally what we'll do is to take his word very seriously. That we will see that God's word is higher and wiser than all things, and so that it is only right that it has authority over our lives. And that because of who God is, well, very definitely he does know how best it is for us to live, and that true wisdom is to trust and follow the advice of our Creator, and to use the picture of a building site, which is somehow very naturally in our minds at this time, then we are to lay the foundation of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and then build our lives on it in line with God's designs, the designs of the universe's ultimate architect, laying each brick in line with his directions. Of course, as a first step, a right fear of the Lord should move us to put our faith in the Lord. And Proverbs as a book is speaking essentially first to people of faith. That means that in New Testament terms, it's speaking primarily to those who are following the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen before that it is wisdom for people of faith, and it brings us warnings from a perspective of faith. But in addition, it also calls out to people who don't yet have that real day-to-day relationship with the living God. And it invites them to discover it, to come to know it for themselves. Because by doing so, by getting and forming that connection with God, then God will meet our deepest needs. That we will find what we need in this life in him. That he will enable us to discover true peace and true joy and true wholeness, things that we will never find elsewhere. So as we delve into Proverbs once more, let's just remind ourselves of its structure. Firstly, chapters 1 to 9 kind of give us high-level principles to follow, overarching guidance. But the chapters that follow, chapters 10 to 31, operate at the kind of lower, practical, nitty-gritty level, which is why we've called this series Practical Living from Proverbs. In fact, let me tell you this, have a read in your own time of chapters 10 to 31, and you will find that they are jam-packed with gold nuggets of nuts and bolts wisdom. From choosing friends and a good wife, to not drinking too much alcohol and using money wisely. And when you read through them, particularly in one sitting, the advice and the teaching kind of feels as though it comes very thick and very fast. It can feel as though you're being bombarded by a kind of machine gun fire of wisdom bullets which are being fired at you. And also it can seem as though they're coming in a kind of random scattergun approach, jumping from subject to subject. You may have felt that as we read chapter 14, which is why it is so helpful to trace the themes that run through those chapters, to group those proverbs together so that we can get a grip of those themes and see what Proverbs is speaking into there. That's what we're aiming to do in this series. And last week we looked at what these chapters said about money and how we spend it. This week we're thinking about God's wisdom and how we use it. In other words, what it means to walk daily in God's wisdom, which at heart is answering the question, which is essentially answering the question, what is a wise daily attitude to God and His Word? What is a wise daily attitude towards God and His Word? And much of that wisdom can be summed up in two of the Proverbs that I'm just going to put on screen now. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21. Whoever pursues righteousness and unfailing love will find life, righteousness, and honor. And then Proverbs 22. True humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. Now, before we start getting excited about the wrong things there, as John helpfully highlighted for us last week, Proverbs today, for us here and now, primarily speaks with a spiritual angle. The honor it promises is honor in God's sight. The riches are spiritual riches, and the long life, of course, is ultimately eternal life. So it isn't saying if you follow its guidance here, you'll be rich, get an OBE, and live long enough to get a telegraph from the Queen if she's still around at that time. You may get those things, but Proverbs doesn't promise them to us today. And by the way, if you do become rich, John told you what to do with those riches last week. But essentially what these two headline verses are saying is that walking in God's ways, living humbly and reverently in line with His character, responding to His faithful love, enjoying His presence and obeying His word is all that enables us to flourish in this life as we wait to inherit all that God promises to us in the future. That people made by God, people created in His image, are only going to function as they were meant to function if they live His way. And to not do that is a bit like driving in the dark with your headlamps off. So firstly, what does it look like to walk daily in wisdom? Well, I want to highlight three things. Firstly, Proverbs shows that it means that we pursue godly knowledge. We pursue godly knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 3, we have another foundational principle where we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." And that seeking His will there means actively pursuing what God's will really is. It is seeing that God's wisdom is so valuable and so vital for life that, like treasure seekers, we're very keen to search through God's word and to discover more and more of it. And Proverbs again and again emphasizes the worth of God's word and the wisdom and the value that we are to place on it. Just so many times. Let me put three verses up on screen. Firstly, Proverbs 10, verse 14. Wise people treasure knowledge, but the babbling of a fool invites disaster. Proverbs 15, a wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. Proverbs 21, whoever pursues righteousness and unfailing love will find life, righteousness, and honor. And each case, the knowledge it's speaking about is godly knowledge, godly wisdom. And by the way, as you look at those verses, just notice the kind of language that the writer uses. Words like treasure, and hungry, and pursue. Words which underline that gaining this white knowledge, wise knowledge from God, isn't a passive exercise. It doesn't happen by osmosis as we hold a closed Bible. It is active. It involves a diligent, determined approach to reading God's word and to learning from it, and then bending our inner wills to it so that we change to become the people that God calls us to be. And of course, in tandem, it involves praying through the situations that we face, particularly those decisions that have far-reaching consequences. It involves praying and asking God to help us to know which path to take and to pull us back from wrong choices that will be damaging. Wrong choices that will lead us away from his way and which will therefore also lead us away from him. So that Proverbs calls us to grow in wisdom. In Proverbs 12, verse 3, it says, "Wickedness never brings stability, but the godly have deep roots." And so it encourages us to be tree-like, to put deep roots into God's word, to be nourished and to be stabilized by God's word, so that we keep on standing strong, and that we keep standing strong even in the strong winds of the world's alternative thinking and values, which blow and try to bend us in wrong directions. And Proverbs calls us to get to know God better and to get to know his ways with greater clarity, so that this growing in knowledge and growing in wisdom is a bit like going to the opticians, you know, when you're being fitted for new glasses and gradually they change the lenses to get a sharper and sharper image, and our sight is improved and our vision's brought into sharper focus. And what's more, this active pursuit of godly knowledge shouldn't be driven by a kind of slavish, grudging duty. You know, it shouldn't feel like going to an extra revision session on a Saturday morning when you're at school. But instead, it should be motivated by a love for God and a desire to live in a way that pleases him, by a heart that is thirsty. Thirsty for more of the joy of living God's way. A heart that understands Proverbs 13:9, which says, "The life of the godly is full of light and joy." Proverbs 10, "Doing wrong is fun for a fool, but living wisely brings pleasure to the sensible." And then Proverbs 14, verse 27, "Fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain." And that is a wonderful picture for thirsty hearts, isn't it? A fountain of God's truth, which is refreshing and pure and beautiful. And Proverbs also recognizes that in a world which bombards us with a constant stream of contrary views and values and opinions, it is very easy for us to lose focus on God's way and to go down wrong paths that will create a distance between us and God. You know, I remember very vividly still the one time I got lost as a child. I was 5 and on holiday on the beach in the Isle of Wight with my parents. And I was building a very good sandcastle just next door to them as they sat and dozed on their very trendy floral deck chairs. When suddenly in the distance I saw a red tractor on a beach a bit further down, and it took my attention away, and I wandered off towards it, losing sight of my parents. And then after walking some distance, I turned around, and then on a busy beach, I couldn't see them. And you see, the book of Proverbs recognizes our tendency to wander away from our Heavenly Father. It knows that we have this natural bias within us that takes us away from God and away from his word and ways. And so it encourages us again and again to keep our focus. Proverbs 17, verse 24, "Sensible people keep their eyes glued on wisdom." That's a great phrase, isn't it? "But a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth." Proverbs 23:19, "My child, listen and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course." And so firstly, pursue godly knowledge, but secondly, accept it humbly. If we're honest, I guess none of us find it very easy to accept criticism and to be put right and corrected on something. In fact, my wife tells me regularly that it is one of my own key personal struggles. She even has a fridge magnet that says, "When I married Mr. Wright, I didn't realize his first name was Always." But you know, if we're honest, it can be very hard to hear when we're wrong, can't it? It can be hard to hear that we're not what we should be. It's difficult to take in and accept words that point out that we're not the people that we should be and that correct our way of life and our thinking. We have a kind of natural built-in resistance to that, don't we? But Proverbs, interestingly, encourages us to have a a different approach. It points out again and again that wise, godly people are not afraid to have their thinking or their behavior brought back to where God says it needs to be. In other words, that it is spiritually smart to accept discipline as an opportunity to grow in wisdom. Proverbs 10 verse 17 says, "People who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray." Proverbs 12 verse 1, "To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction," which is pretty blunt, isn't it? And of course, linked to that, as we think about this whole area of correction and discipline, what we need to remember is that God's discipline isn't the act of an uncaring, distant father who doesn't care, but of a loving father who very much does. A loving father who wants to pull us away from behaviors that will harm us, from attitudes that will damage us, and internally from relationships that will take us in wrong directions. You see, just think, when we discipline our own children, we are doing it, aren't we, for their good. We're aiming to remove behaviors that are unacceptable. We're encouraging them not to be selfish and to share, not to tell lies but tell the truth, not to take things that don't belong to them. And we do all that with a long-term goal, don't we? So that they grow up into responsible adults and leave home. Only joking. More seriously, it is because we want them to grow up into responsible adults. We want them to grow up into people who live well, who treat other people with kindness and fairness, who live lives of integrity and who avoid pitfalls and wrong turns, and who do that by coming to know our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we need to appreciate is that the goal of our Father in heaven for us as his people is much greater than that. It's much deeper. Because his great aim, you see, is to shape and to mold us so that he shapes and molds our character into a character which increasingly comes to reflect him more and more. You know, at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 5, we read these words. Paul writes, words which have amazing depth and implications. "Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us." And when we're walking closely with God, what we find is that God's goal for us is then matched by a desire in us. That God's call to become more and more like him is echoed in our hearts by a desire that wants to come and to become more like him, by hearts which are humble and hearts which are ready to learn from God's word. And this kind of humble sitting under God's word for correction and discipline and being molding and shaped is kind of like a constant chorus that Proverbs sings again and again. Proverbs 10 verse 8 says, "The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." And then the great words of Proverbs 15, verse 31. "If you listen to constructive criticism, you'll be at home among the wise. If you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you will grow in understanding." What does it mean to walk daily in the wisdom of God? Well, it means that we pursue godly knowledge. It means that we accept it humbly, and finally, and briefly, it means then too that we apply it very, very carefully. This week I came across a modern day proverb. It says this, "Act now and think later." To use a kind of Winnie the Pooh illustration, it's a proverb that seems to come from the Tigger Guide to Life, doesn't it? To act impulsively without thinking, to rush in and act and then work it all out later. And sure, in some situations, I guess you can see its value to use a random idea just plucked from the sky. If you saw somebody accidentally about to fall down a trench on a building site, you would reach out and grab them, wouldn't you? Try and stop them from doing that. But generally, if you think about this proverb, it isn't hard to see the danger in following this advice, is it? The danger of being too hasty without thinking. And again, once more, the book of Proverbs guards us against this way of operating with its very usual, blunt, straight-talking way. Just look at these verses. Proverbs 13, verse 16. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Proverbs 19, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. And so instead, Proverbs says to us, in the vast majority of life situations, think first, then act. Proverbs encourages us to be people who are measured and considered. It isn't saying that we should never act or to be sluggishly slow to act like I am with DIY, but it is saying that we are faced with situations that we are to take time to think and to pray things through, to be people who very carefully apply God's wisdom to situations, who weigh up different courses of actions and who think through their consequences. Consequences for us, but also consequences for others as well. So that if I follow that career path, what effect will it have on my faith and my family? If I spend my money that way, will that limit my ability to be generous to those in need in the future? If I use my time in that way, how will that impact my ability to meet regularly with my brothers and sisters in Christ? If I watch that film, or if I access that internet site, what effect will it have on my mind and my heart? And Proverbs 14:15 gives us a very helpful, overarching, guiding principle to really implant into our minds and to reflect on and to allow it to work through our existence. It says these words, "The prudent carefully consider their steps." In other words, to think through whether the choice I'm about to make will be helpful for my spiritual walk or will it pull me in a wrong direction. And you see how Proverbs 22 verse 3 then breaks that down in a bit more detail. It says, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton, that is somebody who ignores godly advice, goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. And then Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28 gives us arguably the most important application where it says, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. It's all great advice, isn't it? And as you make your way through chapters 10 to 31, and I hope you will take time just to sit and to read that part of God's word in your own time. It's very important that we recognize something fundamental as well. That this isn't random advice, but it is rooted advice. It is advice and wisdom which is rooted in the character of God, the God of perfect love, the God of constant care, the God of absolute faithfulness. In other words, this is wisdom from the God we can trust. This is wisdom from the God who knows best and who knows us best. Which is why, of course, it is so very foolish to ignore it. And which is why Proverbs calls us to follow this wisdom, so that, like a compass for life, it will keep us traveling in the right direction on a path of promise and wholeness and peace, walking closely with God as we seek to walk his way. But, of course, as we close, it will only be helpful advice for us if we listen to it. A guidebook can't help you if you ignore it. A guidebook can't help you if it remains closed. And so let's encourage each other. Let's encourage each other to commit to this wisdom and to commit to this wisdom-building project in our lives. Firstly, by carving out time to build ourselves up in godly knowledge so that we do become people who are better equipped to navigate through all the difficult decisions and issues that life brings our way. And secondly, by accepting the wisdom of God's word and doing it humbly, recognizing how much we need it, recognizing that God's opinion is far more important than any other's opinion, and that his wisdom is the highest wisdom. And then thirdly, by applying God's wisdom to our lives very carefully and praying for and relying on the power and work of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, but also to transform us and to make us more and more like the one who modeled God's wisdom in a perfect way and lived it all out perfectly, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, as we saw at the beginning, this wisdom not only encourages those who have a real relationship to walk with God his way, it also calls out with loving warnings to those who don't yet walk with God, to those who can't yet say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And it calls them to discover that relationship for themselves with the great promise that if you seek it, you will find it. But also the great warning that if you don't, you will regret it for eternity. That relationship is only made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God is speaking to you this morning, drawing you to come and discover that relationship for yourselves, then we'd love to help you. We'd love to introduce you to Jesus and all that it means to follow him so that you can come to experience the rich and satisfying life that he promises to all who follow him. And so that also, in the words of Psalm 23, you are also able to say, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Let's take a few moments in quiet individual prayer. Let's reflect on God's word to us this morning, all its implications, all it means for our lives. And in prayer, if there are things that are wrong that we need before God to put right, let's take an opportunity to do that and commit to that before him now. Let's take some time in prayer individually now.